Everybody.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to be back here. Let me just... Otherwise, I'll start coughing, and then that goes nowhere. So, do you remember when you were a child of getting one of those snow globes at Christmas time with a beautiful little peaceful scene in it? And we would shake it, and the snow would begin to fall. And it gave us, what, a feeling of peace, didn't it? And in that childlike wonder, no matter what we were experiencing in our lives as young children, there was still that holy innocence of trusting and believing in the good, the ultimate peace that we desired in our life. And those of us who come to Unity or other New Thought churches, we still have that desire. Many people around our world still have that desire. And I use the analogy of a snow globe because it's almost as human beings, we have forgotten our oneness. Ever since thousands of years ago when we came to believe in separation, what we have done is we've almost have a misperception that we're kind of contained in this larger globe. And I find it very interesting because way back in the beginning of humanity, there was a structure for the world that they called the dome. Okay? But above the dome was the skies and there was nothing. We know there's something way beyond where we're at. However, it's almost like we are being pushed into this imaginary glass dome that surrounds us that we want to escape out of, that we might feel like there's no way out. And I want to tell you the good news is that your light, the light of all of us who have held this vision for peace all these years, who have practiced these principles, despite our reactions, we've accepted them and we've forgiven and we've prayed and we held the space of changing our own lives, allowing God to work through us. That light that we have been allowing to escape from our hearts is actually cracking through that enclosed glass dome, imaginary glass dome, and that is creating a space where we are going to be able to emerge and escape out of what we think is third dimensional reality, that what we believe is the only thing often. You know, Jesus said, "My Father's house has many mansions." Well, my name is Judy, and I kind of playfully say that I should write a book of Judaisms because I question everything. So the Judaism for today is that I don't think that's what Jesus said. I think it's a misinterpretation. What I believe Jesus said is this: my Father's kingdom has many dimensions. Okay? And what most of us are experiencing now is a third dimensional reality where there is good and bad. There's these polarities, right and wrong, up and down, right and wrong. And we have been living in that third dimensional reality. But what we're cracking through is through the fourth, fifth dimensional reality, which was what Charles Fillmore referred to as the new earth, the new human, the new creature. And I don't care where you search now, any prolific New Thought writer, you can look even at ancient writings, you could even look up aliens and dimensions, and it all says this one same thing, that we are moving into a different reality. And that is where we will find that peace. But how do we get there? Because as long as we live in polarities, this will be the experience. There will be conflict. There will be wars. This will go on, but it doesn't mean that we have to exist and live in that reality. But we can make our way through the cracks, and it is our light that is making space for that. Remember the story of Saul on the way to Damascus. Saul, who came later known after his conversion as Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, actually was much like the terrorists, like ISIS, by the people who are now trying to bring back racism and all these different things that we are experiencing now that have exploded through our news, through our capital, through our world, that would like to shield us from the fact that what we once believed is not true, that peace can happen. It seems, when we look at that, we have all kinds of emotions and feelings. You have to admit to it. It brings up things we did not even know existed in us until recent history. And I want to tell you that I believe this is good, that we should not avoid it. Because what is happening is anything that has been hidden in our unconscious is being drawn out for healing. It's being drawn out into the light. And so what we need to do is work with those energies now so that we can go beyond and move into another dimensional reality where we can live as Jesus lived, as he said, I live and have my being here, but I have other places. I am here, but not of this place. And this is what I believe. So we're coming up to Unity's World Day of Prayer. And the theme of it is peace in the midst. Now, another Judaism would have been and might been see as, people might see this as a little negative, but it's really saying the same thing. I would name this World Day of Prayer peace despite. Peace despite. Peace despite of what's happening in this chaotic time now. Now, when I was in ministerial school, they taught us this three-prong process, and it was called, the first part of it was thesis. So we have this thesis that we want to have peace in the world. That's what we're looking for. The World Day of Prayer is actually that. That is what we're proclaiming of our vision, is demonstrating peace, that I am the power of peace in the world. And then what happens once we come up with a thesis is the opposite of it comes up. Well, if a large movement like ourselves could proclaim that despite this, in the midst of what's going on, that there's peace, can you see that it is our job to go beyond the antithesis of what's there? It is our job to process any reaction that we have to what's going on and to return to homeostasis, to peace within ourselves. Because as we do this, as we choose love instead of fear, as the Course in Miracles says, then what happens is synthesis happens. The synthesis happens. The crack widens and we are able to escape into a different reality. What happened to me with recently, when I came here the first time, I talked to you about my awakening experience and changing these structures in my life. For those of you who didn't hear that talk, I actually had almost died from cancer, and I had this experience with a room full of angels, ascended masters, and Jesus himself. And I was told that I had structures in my life I had to change for where I was going. And I asked what they were, and they said, you had to figure them out myself. And that's what I've been doing. And it's been a process. And one of those processes has to do with allowing. It also is very connected to what we do when we pray. Have you ever wondered why, when you pray for something, you seem to have a breakthrough, but then it seems to happen again? Have you ever noticed that? I actually noticed that for my whole life, adult life, I have come on the verge of financial destruction, turned to God, and had a wonderful breakthrough. Felt like a miracle, until a little while later, I was back at the edge of financial destruction. And once again, I would turn to God, I'd have a breakthrough, remarkable, and then back to the financial destruction. I mean, this for some of you it might be finances, another person, other people it could be relationships, others could be addiction. I mean, whatever it is that is your theme that you've been dealing with, we all have that, don't you? Can't you admit that? And have you ever wondered what you need to do to finally come to the place that you don't have to revisit it? Right? Wouldn't that be total transformation? Well, I've been studying the way of mastery. And in one of the tapes, Jeshua, or Jesus, says that if you imagine standing before a beautiful, peaceful pond, and then you have a prayer, and you throw a pebble into the pond, that's your prayer. And then that, or consciousness, and then it ripples out into your life. Okay? However, what he says is that we often don't know what goes beyond behind the prayer. So all these years I've been praying and affirming prosperity, but underneath there was a fear that I never could quite see. See, because when we pray for prosperity, right, there's fear that I'm going to crash and burn financially. Okay? So since I left church ministry, I've been dealing with this energy, and I'm hoping this will help you see about how to cast a different pebble in your pond of consciousness. Okay? So I asked, what do I need to do? What is it that I need to do this differently? And I realized that you and I don't know what pebble to throw into the pond, because we always live in this duality. Prosperity, bankruptcy, right? Right? Love, broken relationships. Mental health problems or addiction and recovery. Whatever that may be, we live in this duality, and behind casting the pebble into the pond, which goes to the shore of our consciousness and we have a breakthrough, is also the fear that somehow I'm not going to be able to support myself. So as I've left church ministry, what I realized is my age is nearing to the time that I probably should be retiring, but I have no retirement. Wow, this is the ultimate. This is the ultimate. So I go, God, am I supposed to be working until I die? How do I break through this? And finally, I got it. I cannot cast that pebble for myself. I don't know what it is I need. And then the answer came, all I need is God. Jesus said, first seek the kingdom of God, and all the righteousness will be added unto us. But what do? We get into some kind of human difficulty, then we seek God, and then what do we want? We want something in the physical world to be different. That's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't saying seek something in the world, because whatever's in this world will disappoint us. But when we seek God, everything can be taken away from us, and we will be okay. We will have the peace that surpasses understanding. It is in seeking only God. I don't know for you. There was a problem that began to emerge for me. Because remember, Jesus gave us two laws. It wasn't like two commandments. It wasn't like you have to do this. It was like you would be wise if you put these two things into your life. Because then you will realize that you are God in human form. You will realize that you are God, that you are the Christ. It's not like there's a Christ in us, like a hot dog in a bun or a raisin in a bun. That it is fully in us, this presence of God. And what we're learning to is to allow it to escape. And it can only happen in incremental levels. Because otherwise, if too much light would happen at once, if you had a bulb with small wattage, what would happen to it if you put a lot of electricity in that bulb too quickly? It'll explode. So actually what we've been doing in this course of time, which is coming to an end because we're moving into a new time, is we have been in slow increments. We have been increasing that light that we can contain. But now it's time for us to fully awaken. To be fully awakened doesn't mean that our physical life disappears, that there won't be problems, but it means that we address when it comes up, knowing that God is all we need to seek. First seek God. The two greatest commandments, Jesus said, is first love God with your whole mind, heart, and soul, and then to love your neighbors as yourself. And that second one implies that we have to love ourselves before we could love our neighbors. We can't not love ourselves until we love God, but we can't love God unless we love ourselves enough to love God. It's kind of a, do you see the kind of thing that it's like a dance? About 6 months ago, I realized that I once had this really, as a Catholic, I really had this mystical experience when I went to church with God. The something about the Mass sort of took me, and the music and everything took me to the edge where I forgot myself and I was connected. Meditation does that for me often. But I lost the essence of this, and maybe this is a key of what's happening in New Thought and we need to wake up. Is because when I had to learn that I had the power of God, when I learned that I was a co-creator, when I learned that I could pray for things and it would happen, I thought I was more important than God. I didn't do that consciously. Okay? I made God a Santa Claus. I don't know if you do that yourselves, but I made God a Santa Claus. Let me put this on my list, and then on my list, and then I'll put it on a big board, and I'll visualize it. And I was forgetting to know that all I needed to seek was God. And when I began to do that, my life began to unfold in a different direction. So how do we face the fears that we have? We seek God, and then we love ourselves. We face the fears. When I had a ministry, when I had a church ministry of my own, I always started with an object lesson for the children. I'm going to use myself as an object lesson right now to sort of demonstrate what do we do with fear. So I'm going to leave the microphone for a second, and I'm going to do something. So I want everybody to look at my legs, if you can see them. if you have any feelings going on in you, what would they be right now when you see those legs? What's going on in your mind? Anybody want to just pop something out? For those who couldn't see, my legs are bandaged, they're bound, yes. Support, okay. Anybody else see something else? Pardon? Full circulating, okay. Okay, you know what's going on. Did anybody go, oh my God, the poor thing? Did you have that thought at all? No? Oh, some people did, okay. And that's okay. So a week ago, okay, so I had cancer, and what I didn't know when I had surgery was that I had the option to tell my surgeons not to take my lymph nodes out. And they automatically take out lymph nodes. When they take out lymph nodes, then you have a chance of developing lymphedema. And so I was unconscious, and I got lymphedema. So last Monday, I go for my OT session, and my occupational therapist says, well, your legs, so what lymphedema is that your drain, which is here, and it's connected to deep breathing, can't drain because the lymph nodes can't, are the pumps, and they can't pump. It's a physical dynamic that we use. You can't pump the fluids through the body if you don't have the pumps all in place, right? And so I don't have all the pumps anymore. And so my legs swell. And what do they do when you go to OT? They bandage you. So I wasn't expecting this. And so I go to my OT, and she says, we have to bandage you. And I go, no, we can't do that right now. And she goes, yes, we're going to do that right now. She said, because, see, if you don't manage it, then you have bigger problems. And she says, you're not in danger or anything, but I think it would be very wise right now to do this. Oh, take a deep breath. All week long, and you might think I'm silly, guess what was on my mind? Oh, my God, I'm going to Unity of Bowie. My legs are going to look horrendous. Oh, my God, maybe I should call Patty and tell her I can't come. What are they going to think of me if they see these legs? Fear, right? Not loving myself, but fear. That's how subtle it is. So what do we do when in our physical life the fear emerges? We address it. And that's what I did just now. Because I did see a couple of people look at my size 8.5 men's double wide Nikes, which are hidden under my dress. I couldn't hide that. And so the thought in my head is like, right there appears like, oh, I'm wondering what they're thinking. To be fully integrated, mind, body, and spirit, we have to be in total integrity. It's not about me anymore, it's about we. And so I said to myself when I was driving here, I am going to trust we. I'm going to trust this beloved community that I'm one with always, that I happen to not to see very often, and I'm just going to show them my legs. Because if I didn't address that, I'm hiding behind something I don't want you to see. We are coming to a time when we won't be able to hide anymore. And the best way to address that is just to be honest, to be fully aligned in integrity. Oh my God, I'm feeling very frightened right now because what's going on in the world. Oh my God, my granddaughter, I wonder what she's feeling. She's mixed. Is she afraid to, she goes to Towson, is she afraid to, what will happen when she's on the streets? She's not, but grandma was feeling frightened for her, right? So to address it, not let it be hidden in us, not to try to hold it down anymore, but to say, oh my God, during these times, it's very frightening. But in a community, and being a we, and being truthful, and choosing to be love and to love ourselves enough to show ourselves, to even admit that we have fear and it's okay, dissipates all the fear. You get that? Stop hiding. In New Thought, we like to cover up anything we call as negative feelings with a positive affirmation. That won't work. We have to first let go of what is living in us and let go of it and then fill it back in with something positive. But what we often do is that we have not wanted to admit to things. I have seen even Unity ministers who have called me privately because they have cancer, but they don't want their congregations to know. Friends, so what? How can we gather around one another despite if we don't tell the truth? That is the light will never let us go. That is loving ourselves enough to be able then to go before the presence of God and say, God, I don't know what pebble to toss into that pond of my future. I ask that you give me assistance. Show me what to throw into that pond. Do it for me. For myself, I don't know. But I do know that I am destined not to come into the place ever again of lack. Even if it means I don't have a penny. But I also believe that I can be wealthy, even in the terms of the world. And I don't know how that could happen, but God does. I don't know how the racism is going to end. But I do know Paul on the road of Damascus with every intention to annihilate and wipe out all of the people that called the way, and the way were the early group that followed Jesus, and his intention of him and his men were to completely annihilate them. They did not want to have anything to do with these people, and so they went there bloodthirsty with the thought of killing. And in the midst of that, he has this experience with the light that was so profound that it knocked him off his horse. He was blinded and he did not even have strength to make his way to a safe place. His men had to carry him to a house. And he laid there for 3 days in utter pain. But in the midst of it, he changed. And he became the number one advocate for the way. We don't have to know how. It doesn't even have to happen to every person who walks the planet. But what we need to know is that once we allow God to be God in our life, when we work with this energy of allowing, the cracks in the dome will open. We will be free. And it's there that we find the peace that's always been within us. Peace is not something we have to find. We've always had it. But every time we don't feel peaceful, we have not yet fully surrendered ourselves to the will of God. So what would it be like if you were no longer the captain of the ship, but that you were actually aboard the ship as a passenger, enjoying life, being led in the direction of the voyage that we're on? Come aboard. Join me. God bless you.